all on me to kind of pester God enough that he will respond. And then what will he respond with? Can I really get what I want or what I need from him? I hope and trust we'll be able to answer these questions and better understand this passage over the next 20 or so minutes as we dig into it together. But before we do, we would do well to prepare ourselves to get into it. After all, it is God's word to us on the subject of prayer. Therefore, I think it will be worth our while to pray, to ask God to help us to seek him this morning. So, let's knock, 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 knock on God's proverbial door together before we get into it, eh? Let's pray. God, you tell us in this passage, to ask you, to seek you, to knock on your proverbial door. We want to do that. Lord, we might not really understand what this means right now, but we're asking you and seeking you right where we are. Please meet us where we are, where we're at today. Please help each of us to understand this teaching from your son Jesus this morning. We want to know you. We want to hear from you. We want to glorify you. And we want to be more like you because of what happens here today. Please help us. Clear our minds of the busyness of life. Clear our minds of distractions. Holy Spirit, please do what you need to do in us this morning so that we can hear from you, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's take a few minutes just to look at these three words, ask, seek, knock. What do they mean? At its heart, this is Jesus' teaching on prayer. But before we jump into what Jesus is saying about prayer, I think it's helpful to clear up what he isn't saying about prayer. Now, in my thinking, I came up with two common misunderstandings, I guess, that can creep in when we hear this passage. First, that the responsibility of answered prayer rests entirely on us. If we don't ask hard enough, if we don't seek long enough or knock loudly enough, we miss out. And second, that God will simply just give us whatever it is we ask for. If we just do these things, kind of like the genie in a bottle kind of thing. So let's tackle those now. So on the surface, it can kind of sound like it's all up to us, right? Ask or you won't get. Seek or you won't find. Knock and the door stays shut. But underneath these three words is actually a gracious invitation. Jesus isn't setting up a test of spiritual effort. He's inviting us into a relationship. We don't pray to sort of twist God's arm. We pray because he's already opened the door through Christ and stirred our hearts by his Spirit to come. And Jesus isn't sort of describing some sort of transaction, like putting prayer coins in some sort of divine vending machine. He's showing us what it means to trust a good Father. Prayer is not us working to earn a response. It's the natural response of our hearts that have already been loved, already been found. Asking is only possible because Jesus asked first for us. Our seeking only happens because Jesus first sought us. And the door we knock on, he has already unlocked it. It's not about us when it comes to prayer. It's not like we need to say the magic words or be ultimately responsible for the outcome of prayer. That's God's job. And it is by his grace that we get to, that we have the privilege of being able to pray and talk to him. Ask, seek, knock is an invitation into a relationship, not three magic words that we have to say to get stuff from a reluctant, stingy God. But let's be honest, this passage still raises hard questions. What about those times when we do ask and nothing happens? We've prayed for healing and the sickness stayed. We've begged for peace and life has only grown more chaotic. We look at the world and we think of the persecuted Christians praying. We pray for their rescue, or starving children in war-torn countries crying out for food. Are their prayers not being heard? Does God not care? It's a very fair question, and it's not one that we want to just brush aside. But Jesus never promised that God would give us everything that we want, exactly when we want it. What he promises is that our Father will give us what is good. Sometimes that's healing or provision. Other times, it's endurance, comfort, or a deeper awareness of his presence right in the middle of the mess. God's goodness doesn't mean ease. It means love. And the ultimate proof of that love is the cross. God didn't stay distant from our suffering. He stepped into it for us. So if this passage isn't about carrying the full responsibility of the outcomes of prayer, and it isn't some sort of guarantee that we'll get everything we ask for, what is it about? That's what we're going to explore next. At its core, Jesus is inviting us into a posture of dependence and trust. Ask, seek, and knock aren't three steps to a successful prayer life. They're more a picture of what it looks like to live as a child of the good Father. Children ask because they trust their dad will listen. They seek because they believe their dad is worth finding. And they knock because they know that their dad is home and that the door is open. Jesus is describing what a relationship with God looks like when we really believe he is good. This is about persistence, not performance. Jesus is encouraging us to keep coming, to keep praying, to keep drawing near. Not because we need to win God over, but because he loves to be with his children, with you and me. That is what fuels real prayer. Not panic, not pressure, but the deep confidence that our Father is generous, attentive, and already at work for our good. So when we ask, seek, and knock, we're not trying to get something from a reluctant God. We're leaning into the arms of a Father who already knows what we need and who delights in giving us more of himself, which gets us into the next thing I think we should look into. How much value do we really place on prayer? Asking, seeking, and knocking suggests that persistence matters, right? It's like a scale. It starts here and each one gets a little bit more intense, I guess. Simply just asking God once for something doesn't show a lot of care. It shows that whatever it is that we're asking about is actually not that important or that valuable to us. We wouldn't ask, seek, or knock for something that has little or no value, would we? However, something I came to realize as I prepared for this was that I often do just that. I ask God, and then I leave it at that. I don't know exactly why. I kind of guess I don't want to badger him or pest him or nag him. I know it's not right, but I often do it. I wonder if I'm alone in this. Allow me to illustrate. Kids, need you for this in a moment. Parents, listen in, as I'm sure you've experienced this in your life too, and I suspect you'll learn something as well. Alright, so kids, who has gone to a shop, be it Toy World, Kmart, whatever, and something has caught your eye? And you decide that you really, really need it. It could be the latest remote control car, it could be the newest Lego set or Barbie doll, whatever it is. Who has got an example? Who remembers going to a toy shop? Yes, Josh. Yeah, remote control car, yeah. What about you, Nate? A new set of Uno cards, yep. Yeah. If you're a kid, you know what this is like. If you're a parent, you've probably seen it in your kids, and if you remember back far back enough, you probably remember it yourself. You didn't think about that thing before you went into the shop. You just saw it and then decided that you had to have it. So naturally, you pest mum or dad relentlessly. The whole time you're in the shop, you nag, you ask, you're pulling on dad's trousers. You're like, come on, I really need this thing. You give all the good reasons why you need this new toy, right? And unfortunately for you, your mum and dad say no, or not yet, or we can't just buy that now. Maybe we can get it for your birthday, but not today. Kids, how do you feel about it when this happens? You feel real happy? You feel devastated. That's a good word. Devastated. You want it now. You love it. You can't imagine a life without it. And it seems super, super, super important. So much so that you might become devastated, pretty upset about it. You might cry or get grumpy or even throw a tantrum about it. What happens when you leave the shop? What happens 1 hour after? Yes. Or even like the next day. We tend to forget about it. Surely some things stick, but a lot of the stuff that seemed important at the time, it seems so important that you got that Lego set or that remote control car or that Barbie doll or whatever. When you're holding it in the shop, it's now no longer that important, is it? You thought you valued it, but when you thought about it the next hour or the next day, it's not actually that important, is it? When things happen in our life, they can seem so important. We see them as super, super important. We ask God, we explain to him how important it is that we get whatever it is we need and that we can't possibly imagine a life without whatever it is that we think we need. But given a bit of time, it simply slips out of our minds. We just don't actually value it all that much. We stop seeking, we stop asking, we stop knocking. And we don't ever, because we don't value it. So to push this idea even just a little bit further, what if I told you that all over the church I'd hidden little pieces of dog poo? How eager would you be to search for it? Brooke, keep your hand down. Brooke has a weird fascination with poo. But okay, I haven't, for the record. There is not little pieces of poo, but I doubt anyone would be that eager to search for them, right? But what if I changed out the poop for lollies? Oh, all of a sudden we've got some interested kids. By the way, I have actually done this. In this church building somewhere, I've hidden a box. It's about this big. Wooden box. It's got enough lollies in it for each person in the whole church, I suspect. There's no running here, all right? But I'm going to give you 10 seconds to search for it. I'm going to narrow it down a little bit. It's not out the back. Not in the back room. So you've got 10 seconds, no running. And I want you kids to search for it. And when the 10 seconds is up, I'm going to offer you some help. All right, go. 1, 2, 3. There's running. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. All right, well, no one's found it yet. What if they were to ask me for a map? No one's listening. Maybe this is a good example of prayer. We're too busy running around on our own. Oh, what if someone... All right, kids, come back in, please. All right, we're going to hold off. All right, so what did seeking without asking the person who hid the lollies, what did that do? Chaos, running around blindly. I have no idea where it is, right? But what if you came and asked me for a map? Oh, good on you. Carefully and... Careful. Just share. No, don't. Oh my goodness. This was supposed to be more a collaborative effort, but clearly it's once. Right, so I think we're getting the point. They've found it, but there's a problem. There's a problem. It's locked. Yeah, you need to bring the box in here. Bring the box. Sorry for the chaos, guys. No, you can bring the box in here. It's quite a big box, you might see. Here it comes.
We found the box.
I need the key.
Oh, there you go. Yep, put it on the ground, put it on the stage. Careful, careful. Emmy's got the key. No, steady on. And now when you open it, we're not going to have any lollies just yet. I don't want you reaching in, stuffing your hands full of lollies. Hey, put it back. This is what's in there, guys. All right, you can have one each.
What's the option?
Mate, just grab one, mate.
Wait, what's this?
Lollipops.
That.
All right. Come on, Nate, hurry up. Good job, team. Nice work, David. Okay. All right. What's up? Oh, thanks. Thanks. That's the lock and the key. Well, kids are fun, aren't they? I love that we can do this in this church. Right. So, after some time searching on their own, what did they find?
Nothing.
That's good manners. Thanks, David. They had to ask, right? They had to ask the person who had, well, hid the lollies. God doesn't hide lollies from us, but just work with you on this. And then they had to seek once they'd asked, right? And then when they found it, what'd they have to do? Ask, knock, I guess, figuratively, for a key or a code or whatever to get in. Because the lollies had value to them, these kids were happy, right, to run around, eager to seek it all, weren't they? And I suspect they would do for quite a while if I just let them search, right? Even when, but because the lollies have value, they were eager to seek them. But even when they didn't appear in your lap, right, the lollies didn't just go into your laps, even though you had to ask for a map, even though you had to look everywhere to find them, even though you had to struggle a bit to figure it out. Did you see the struggle at the front with the map and like, oh, what do we do? Right? Even though they did all that, even though it wasn't straightforward, the kids were happy to put the effort in because they valued what was at the end. Because of the value of the lollies to them, they did it, right? The kids did it. They worked for it. Sure, you tried to do it on your own for a bit, but when I reminded you that you can ask the person for a map and ask for help, you then asked me. Then you did some seeking, and upon finding the box, you then had to go further, right, and knock on the door and get the keys. So my question, it's a bit of a stretch, but do we approach our prayer life like this? Do we appreciate the value of what it is we're asking for? And then are we willing to ask, to seek, and to knock? Are we willing to participate with passion and persistence? Or do we approach our prayer life like a kid in a toy shop who quickly forgets what it is we thought was so important, what it is we're asking for? It really shows how much we value and how quickly we forget about it. What is it that we pray for? Is it things like the latest Lego set or remote control car? Things that at the end of the day aren't all that important? Or do we pray as our passed away kids hunted for those lollies because they were actually valuable and they trusted that they were there at the end? The lollies were sought out with expectation, right? Trust, perseverance, grit and effort. Do these qualities appear in our prayer life too? Pray. Ask, seek, and knock for things of godly kingdom value, not for lollies. Because when you do, you will be eager to do what it takes. You will do so with expectation that God will come through with whatever it is you're searching for. And maybe you're not sure what to pray. What are important and valuable prayers to persistently pray? Who remembers a few weeks ago when Etienne shared about the 6 prayers that God will always answer? Oops, the font's gone crazy. Never mind. 1, glorify yourself through me. 2, forgive me. 3, reveal more of yourself to me. 4, give me wisdom. 5, strengthen me to obey you. And 6, spread your gospel to the lost. These are prayers of value, right? Of importance. And this list is not exhaustive. But notice that none of them are asking God for the new Lego set or remote control car. Nothing here becomes less important as time wears on. In a year from now, these prayers are no less important than they are today. Ask, seek, and knock for this sort of stuff in your prayer life. They have huge value, and God will respond to prayers like this. Now, Bianca helped me to make a handout for those who want one, highlighting these 6 things. They're in the foyer on the little table as you walk in. Please feel free to grab one afterwards. That's totally cool. All right. So, we've spent a bit of time on the ask, seek, knock stuff, the chaos of the kids' lolly hunt. Let's get into the last part of the text for today. The gifts that God promises to give us. Let's look at verses 10 and 11 again. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The comparison here is obvious, right? Sin-filled humans want to give good gifts to those they love. Parents want to give good gifts to their kids. We want to give good things to those that we know. Sure, we don't always get it right, and sometimes our motives are wrong, but sometimes sometimes our motives are wrong in that we don't always want to give good gifts to others, but generally we want to, right? How much more so, then, does God want to bless his kids with good gifts? Now, just like it's not loving for parents to let their kids get whatever they want all the time, God doesn't let us get everything we want all the time either. Parents know that giving a huge glass of chocolate milk to their kid right before bed is a bad idea. Kids, I didn't, often don't understand that though, right? You don't like it. They think, my parents don't even love me because they won't give me the chocolate milk. God knows that some of the stuff we want and ask him for is like a big glass of chocolate milk. We think it's a great idea. We think we need it. We can even think that God doesn't love us because he won't give us the chocolate milk. But God knows better. Which is why we don't always get what we want. The good gifts God promises for his kids are far better than chocolate milk, by the way. He offers forgiveness, mercy, grace, hope, love, purpose, and on. God, the perfect loving Father, wants to give these good gifts to you. In fact, he's already given you the best gift that could ever have been. Along with offering forgiveness, mercy, grace, hope, love, and purpose, he also offers us himself. The God of the universe has given himself fully for you. Because we've been given this gift of God himself through what Jesus did for us, we are forgiven and made right with God. God himself dwells in us. Because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in each of us who know and believe Jesus is King. Today, it's Pentecost Sunday, the day that the church was born, the day that God himself came and dwelt in his followers, not in human form of Jesus, but as his Spirit in each of us who call him Lord and King. This good gift is beyond good, right? It's beyond description, beyond explanation, beyond exclamation. God has given himself in Jesus. Jesus lived, taught, died, and rose again for us, and in doing so, enabled those who follow him to be made right with God and then be indwelt with God himself. The best gift of all. And he promises to keep giving. His word in the Bible, it is full of promises for his people. Now these six promises, should be there, are on the back of the fun little handout that Bianca and I made. So pray. Pray for these promises to come to fruition in your life. Pray that you'll see them, experience them, trust them, and yearn for them. God has promised it. He has promised it, and he will deliver it. So he promises to give us wisdom if we ask. He promises to provide a way out of temptation. He promises that our salvation is secure no matter what. He promises never to leave us or forsake us. He promises to finish the good work that he has begun in us. And he promises to come back. Ask, seek, and knock. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. God will respond. He won't necessarily give us the shiny new remote control car or a big glass of chocolate milk. He won't give us everything we need or want, because he knows what it is we truly need. And that's him. Pray for more of him in your life. That has immense value and is well worth us persistently and passionately participating in prayer. That was a lot of P's. And it is only thanks to his grace and mercy, only thanks to all that he has done for us, that we can ask, seek, and knock at all. Jesus asks for us. He sought us out. and he knocks on the door with us. And more than that, we have the Holy Spirit, God himself, at work within us. Ask, seek, knock. God has and will respond. Let's ask, seek, and knock now as we pray to close. God of the universe, King of kings, our Heavenly Father, you are here. You are in us. You have given yourself in Jesus, and you have given yourself in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this incredible gift given freely and abundantly to us. Thanks. Because of you, we can have life and life to the full. Because of you, we can have hope for a future with you. Sorry for forgetting this. Sorry for kicking and screaming like kids sometimes and for thinking that because you withhold things from us, you don't love us. You love us more than we can ever know. Please grow our trust in you. Grow our appreciation for what we already have in you. Grow in us a determination to ask, to seek, to knock, to be persistent, passionate, prayers, to seek things of value, to ask you to have your way in us. Lord, thanks for hearing our prayers, always, even when we don't think you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, music team.